Bible says, verses 7 through 10. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Bible says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.'" And Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that this is how you will know that the living God is among you." Do you want to know that the living God is among us today?
Yes.
Amen? He says, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you." Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you guide us, Lord, into the challenges of our life, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you bring a call, that you bring provision, that you bring direction to our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as many of us experiences challenges each week, big challenges come our way, Lord. Challenges that would cause us to shrink away, Lord, to run and hide. But Lord, you would guide us in the fullness. That you would guide us, Lord. That you would take us by the hand. That you would lead us, Lord, into those challenges, through those challenges, and out of those challenges, Lord. And in the midst of all that, Lord, that we would come to experience you and to know you and to know that we can trust you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bind every distraction today. Lord, insignificant things like would come about us, Lord, that you would blind us to them, Lord, that we might become focused on your word. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. God is indeed good. God spoke to my heart about how long have I been saved? I think 23 years ago. And I came to know the Lord, and I had been saved 9 months. Anybody here been saved 9 months or less? Anybody remember what it means like to be saved for 9 months? Didn't know nothing, did you? Right? Can I get a witness on that? Yes, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. And the Lord called me to ministry. And I went forward on a Sunday night and said, "Lord, I'll follow you." And the next morning, my partner and I, we were starting a computer consulting business. We're doing computer-aided drafting and design. And it was starting to kick. And it was starting to go. And I went to my friend Brian. I said, "Brian, I'll tell you what. I got to go." I had been saved 9 months, but I was radically saved. I mean, I was pretty radically saved. I was out of control. And I said, "I got to go." And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, I got to go. I'm going to go to Bible college." He goes, I go, "Do you want to buy me out?" And he says, "Well, sure. Are you kidding me?" He goes, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And all of our customers are going, "Are you crazy? This thing is just starting to kick. I mean, you guys are going to be making some money." I said, "I got to go." I said, "God called me. I am leaving." And the deal I made with my partner was, I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you the business. You pay my way through Bible college." He said, "Deal." And there was a monthly stipend that I got, paid cover the tuition and all that kind of stuff. And I left. And I left him there. And I did an accelerated course. I already had a bachelor's degree. And so I got a second bachelor's degree in 2 years. You know, like, I don't know, you got the summer in there, so I don't know, 12, maybe 18 months, 19 months. The month that I graduated, he filed for bankruptcy. And I firmly believe that the Lord kept him in business to pay for my schooling. In that, and through that, I learned that I can trust in the provision of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord is going to prove some things to the children of Israel. He's going to move them into the promised land, and today we're reading about them crossing over the Jordan River. And God is going to do this miraculous thing in them, make provision for them and do this miracle for them. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. How many of you are not 40 years old? How old are you, Roki? 38. As long as Roki has been alive, they've been wandering around in the wilderness. Okay? And so they were preparing to cross the river. God's been waiting that long. And they get to the Jordan, and it is in flood stage. Now, the Jordan River in flood stage is a half a mile wide. Now, you might think, as you're coming up to the Jordan River in flood stage, whoops, God, did you bring us to the wrong place? God, couldn't you have taken us a different way? There could be a better way to take us than through the Jordan River at flood. Do you ever think that maybe God has messed up in your life? Whoops. God, is this really what you have for me? Am I the only one who thinks that? There you go, Mike. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes it seems like, God, what are you doing? And to that question, God says, watch what I can do. See, our God is a big God. And our God does big things. And it was not so much 40 years that God was planning that crossing of the Jordan, but 400 years. Because it was 400 years before that God had promised Abraham to take that land. And that God was going to do a miraculous thing. Whoops. God, are you on track? Whoops. God, are you doing what you meant to do? God says, watch what I can do. Maybe God's going to do a mighty thing in your work. Maybe God's going to, you know, Belshazzar's talked about God giving a vision of him walking. That's a big thing, amen?
Amen.
My God does big things. Maybe God's going to call you to ministry. Well, not even one amen? Maybe God is going to throw a great challenge to you. Maybe God is going to ask you to risk everything the way he did to his children, the Israelites, as they crossed the Jordan. In all that, the Lord wants you to see that you can trust him to do magnificent things in your life. God will reveal himself today so that you can trust him tomorrow. God will reveal himself today so that you can trust him tomorrow. Because trusting God is always the hardest thing. These people have been led by God for 40 years. Crossing the Jordan was a brand new thing. See, God will reveal himself to you today so that you can trust him tomorrow. But the hardest thing is when tomorrow becomes today. Whoa! Are you sure, God? Whoa, this river looks mighty wide. It's like, look, have I not been with you for 40 years? Well, yeah. But this river's really wide. See, God will reveal himself to you today so you can trust him tomorrow. But the hardest thing is when tomorrow gets here. And you got to trust him to do a brand new thing. The title of today's message is Proof for the Promise. And there's some promises for you in the Word of God. We're going to see how God's going to prove himself. Amen? Amen? All right, Bible says, early in the morning, this is back to verse 1 of chapter 3. We start at verse 7, so we're going to do a little backtracking. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. You ever feel like you've never been this way before? that you are just kind of navigating through life, kind of feeling your way through, that you can be lost at any point. Amen? Amen? That's the way they felt. They had never been this way before. He said, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And God is the guide for our journey. He says, you just take the follow the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is a rather spectacular item. 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet by about 4 feet. Those are just round numbers there. You can look it up. And on top of it were two cherubim. You see those? They're like angel things up there, right? Cherubim. And the presence of God in the most holy place would hover right above the cherubim. And so the very presence of God was leading God's people to where they had never been before. Why? Because God didn't want them getting lost. And when you go to places you have not been before, God will guide you as well, because he doesn't want you getting lost along the way. Have you experienced God's guidance? You see, Jesus says that his guidance is still available to us today. He says, I'm going to go away, but it's good that I go away, because when I go away, the Lord will send the Spirit of Truth. And when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he's going to guide you into truth. He will guide you when you don't know where to go. He will guide you when you get lost. And the key to making it through today and to making it into tomorrow is that when you're lost, to trust the guidance of God. Because sometimes he'll guide you through some challenging things. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And when you, and I'll tell you what, you can run away. Whoa! But if you'll go win, he'll lead you out. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Prepare for change. God's going to lead you away from where you're at. If you're not prepared to change, you're not prepared to move. And you can trust all God all day long and just sit there in your lounge chair going, I'm trusting you, God, I'm trusting you, God. He's saying, move. Well, I don't know if I trust you enough to move. Too many people in the church saying that. Joshua told the people, consecrate. Say consecrate for me, please.
Consecrate.
Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, God will do amazing things among you. You got to prepare to move. You got to consecrate yourselves. They were going to consecrate themselves. They were going to make themselves holy. They were going to make themselves sacred. Now, it specs out how you would do that in the book of Exodus. They would wash themselves. They would cleanse themselves. They would wash their clothes. They would abstain from sexual activity. They would consecrate themselves. They would put a focus on God, and there would be an expectation and anticipation of what God would do among them. You see, God's people need to prepare themselves for the presence of God.
Amen.
And so often we're kind of like, oh, God, show up if you want. But you know what? I'm not really going to do anything. Really want me, give me a ring, you know. Send me a text. I didn't get a text from you, God. I didn't know. God doesn't do text. God's going to do amazing things among them. God would do an amazing thing among us. For us to experience the presence of God, there is a cleansing that we should make in our lives. There are things that we do today that prevents us from experiencing the presence of God tomorrow. He says, consecrate yourselves. God's going to do some mighty things among us. We need to make some changes. We need to pray, prepare for change. I went to the liquor store today. They wouldn't sell to me. I told the guy, hey, I was going to buy a bottle of vodka, I was going to buy a carton of smokes, and I was going to buy like a Playboy or something. I said, look, if I buy these things, can I bring them back in about 3 hours, 4 hours? because I need them for my sermon. And he goes, no, once alcohol leaves, it's got to come back. And I started looking around. Anyway, I was going to say, what? See, we say, God says, prepare to move. And we're going, coming, God. And we're weighed down. We're weighed down by the things of our lives. And the Lord said, you got to consecrate. You got to get rid of some of the stuff that is holding you back. And I don't know what's holding you back, but I had Justin fill this up with rocks, and I don't know what is holding you back from the world, but it might be vodka. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be smokes. It might be something. And the Lord says, dump it. You're going to follow me. There's some things that you're going to consecrate. You're going to purify. You're going to put a focus, and there's some of these things. Oh, there's more in here. So you might be involved in a relationship that is unclean. That's the word they use. You know, it's consecrate. I don't really use consecrate every day. Well, back in the consecration days, they used to also say unclean. There's acts that we do that make us unclean. And some of us are in relationships that are unclean. And we continue to, and we can shower up all we want and go right back into that, and you are unclean again. The Lord said, consecrate yourself, get it right or get out. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. The Lord will be speaking to your heart right now if that's what you got to get rid of. Then you'd be ready to move. Oh, still something in there. It could be sin of bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness. God says, if you don't forgive your brother who sins against you, how can my Father in heaven forgive you your sins? Consecrate yourselves. What is that? Pastor Paul's talked about incredible communion, by the way, amen? Anointing there, bro. Talked about examining ourselves. What do you bring to the table of Christ that should not be there? You know, the Lord would say, I love you enough to take you the way you are, but I love you too much to leave you there. We're going to make some changes. You need to consecrate yourself. You got a problem with booze. You got a problem with smokes. You got a problem with your relationship. You got a problem with anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. He says, let's get ready to move. Let's get ready to change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, point number two. Bible says that God is going to do something mighty. That God is going to make a great display. He says, verses 7, this is what I read. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. I don't know that they had ever been told that before, carrying the Ark of God. Big, massive chunk of gold. Joshua takes a risk. And if you are going to follow God in your life, you will have to take a risk. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you're going to deal with bitterness, gossip, anger, resentment, alcohol, drugs, a relationship. It's going to take a risk to move away from that instead of saying, oh, God, I don't trust you enough to take that risk. One day I'm going to quit smoking. One day. One day God's just going to deliver me. It gets tough when one day becomes today. Amen?
Amen.
Got to reveal himself today so you trust him for his promises tomorrow, especially when tomorrow becomes today. God wants you to act. God wants you to move. He says to Joshua, I'm going to do something big in you. Go tell the priests to stand in the water. And then tell the people to move 1,000 yards. Super Bowl happening today. 100 yards. I'm talking 1,000 yards. That is a little bit more than a half a mile. That would be approximately the distance between this church and El Cajon Boulevard. Ark of God is going to cross the Jordan, tell everybody to go all the way up to El Cajon Boulevard or down to Home Avenue. No closer than 1,000 yards. Can you get the picture of that? picture of God's presence, God's holiness in the people of God waiting to cross. I don't know. I mean, can you see El Cajon Boulevard from here?
No.
I mean, they couldn't even see it. I guess maybe if they were on a hill. But, I mean, it's on a river. It's not a hill. It's a river. It's flat. 1,000 yards. A rather challenging situation. Because I got to think. I could be wrong, but I think maybe there was a doubt or two going through Joshua's mind. What if it doesn't work? You ever think that way? What if this doesn't work, God? Whenever God's going to do something big, we can act a little hesitant. No matter what God has done for you in the past. He says, Joshua, I'm going to do something big in you today. I'm going to do something that all the people can see. Today, we are going to do something big. And God is looking for people who will say yes to doing something big. Maybe that's you. He says, I'm going to do a thing in you, and all the people will know that I'm working through you just like I worked through Moses. And then we're going to take the land, and I'll start working through all the people. So this is just the first of many big things that I'm going to do. So maybe the Lord would do something big in you that would enable him to do big things in the people around you. Are you ready to say yes? Are you ready to take a risk? Are you ready to prepare for change? Are you ready to consecrate yourself? Or you just want God to prove himself? And wait till tomorrow. See, God's preparing for more. God wants to do more than just exalt Joshua. And God wants to do more than just do something mighty in you. He wants to do something incredibly mighty through you.
Amen.
He's looking for people who say yes. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you. This is how you will know that the living God is among you. I love that verse. And that he will certainly, not possibly, not most likely, but he will certainly drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. Why is that going to happen? So the people of God can know that God is in the midst of them.
Amen.
That's why he went that way. He went that way on purpose. He said, watch what I can do. This is going to be a display. Why? So that when you take the land, when you're in the midst of battle, you will know and you will be confident that I am with you. And so the Lord would do something mighty in you today so that you can trust him tomorrow, especially when tomorrow gets to be today. Because whenever tomorrow gets to be today, we can always hesitate. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, Lord, yeah, I know you've done all this stuff, but this is really big. The Jordan was a half a mile wide, running at flood. Go stand in the middle. A rather challenging situation. But Joshua takes the risk. And because Joshua takes the risk, God is able to magnify himself within him and through all the people. This was a display of God's might and God's power. God chose to do a miracle. He did it for his people. And we all face great challenges. Are you ready to say yes? You say, nah, I don't care. We're making a change around here. It's here at Ministries. Tomorrow, food program changes on Mondays. And because of that change, you have the opportunity in a six-week period to meet a neighbor that you don't currently know at all or very well and share what God has done in your life and share what God can do in their life. And some of you think, oh, that's big. Yeah, we're talking about somebody's soul. Maybe a whole family's soul. Some of you have signed up. Linda signed up. Several others of you are signed up, ready to go, ready to participate. And some of you think, well, I'm just going to pray on it. I kind of need God to verify. Have you seen God work in the past? Oh, yeah. But I really don't know if he could do this. See, that's that thing. I could trust him for the future until the future becomes today. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart right now. I could do that. I'll change a life. Talk to Timothy after church. Starts tomorrow. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have to take a risk. And that is where you meet God. Aaron Bugs teaches the youth. You take a risk? Scared to death when you started? You meet God in the midst of that? Amen, amen. All right, point number three, our God is big. Our God is looking for people who will take a step. God is looking for people to join him. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark got close to the water? No. As soon as the priest who carried the ark stepped into the water, as their foot was approaching the top of that water, there was no change. There was nothing visible that would cause you to think that God was going to do anything other than his promise. And yet, those priests went and stepped into the water. And at that point, changes started to happen. God is looking for people that will join him. God is looking for people that will take a step of faith, that will take a risk and trust him based on his promises and based on the work that he's done in your past. God will reveal himself today so that you can trust him tomorrow. Glory to God. The Jordan's at flood. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and set their feet and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Our God is a big God. And God is looking for people who want to be big. Looking for people who would join him doing big things. Say, I want to do big things. He calls you to action. He calls you to acts of faith. Put your foot in the water. He calls people to step out in faith. He spoke to Joshua. Joshua spoke to the priest, and the priest put their feet in the water. God did something mighty, and God did something big. And I'm sure as they were putting their foot in the water, it looked wide. It's so big. Our God is bigger than any wide river, amen? Our God is bigger than any challenge that you have. God says, I'm looking for people that will join me. I'm looking for people that will step out in faith. And so often we say, God, if you would just take the first step, I'll follow you. And he says, that's not how I roll. That's not my game. I'll point you where to go. I'll tell you where to go. I want you to make the step. And then miracles start to happen. God wants big people. Are you really here, Lord? God says, remember, I'm in front. Remember, I called you. Have I ever let you down? Well, no, but I don't know if you're here today, Lord. God had been leading the Israelites for 40 years. Food, 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, there was enough for 2 days. Led them by fire at night. A pillar of cloud during the day. Can you imagine a new guy showing up? during the day, nice cloudy. Hey, man, there's shade here. Cool. And the sun goes down. All of a sudden, blazing fire, pillar of fire flies up, right? What is that? Oh, Almighty God. Whoa, he does this every day for 40 years. That guy says, God says we're going to cross the Jordan. He said, let's go. Man, if he can do pillar of fire at night, if he can do cloud during the day, he can cross his Jordan. But the guys who had been seeing it for 40 years, it's just God. He does that every day. We don't know if he can really do the Jordan. Do you see how that works? We can become complacent with the acts of God. And when he asked us to trust him for something new, no, we don't know God. We become weak. God is looking for people that will join him in faith. God is looking for people who would be big. He would prove himself today so that you can trust him for tomorrow. He'll do mighty things. Last thing. God comes through. How many times God let you hanging? Oh, I was trusting on God, but he didn't show. I guess he's not here. Guess what? God is everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Where can I go from his presence? Nowhere. See, step in the water, and the water piles up in a heap. Now, I've seen a heap of grain. I have seen a heap of rocks. I have seen a heap of sand. I've seen a heap of marble. I've never seen a heap of water. Anybody ever seen? I mean, I've seen a stack of ice, but a heap of water, that's a God thing, amen?
Amen.
It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water was flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Stepped in the water and it dried up. And that wasn't even the real miracle. Adam is 12 miles upstream. Okay? They step into the water 12 miles downstream, and all of a sudden, a big old pile of water starts happening 12 miles away. Now, the people who stepped in the water saw the water drying up, and they're doing backflips. Can you imagine what was going on in Adam? Whoa, it's a pile of water. You know, pile of water, it don't happen. I mean, that's flood. It's overflowing the dam. It's overflowing the banks. It's overflowing whatever. It's a flood. It's redirect. Nowhere ever is there a pile of water. Why am I bringing this up? So often, we just see the edge of the miracle of God. We have no idea the complexity involved in God doing a miracle for us. I'll tell you what. You guys ever floated down the river on an inner tube?
Yes.
How long did it take you to go 12 miles? A while, right? I'll tell you what. God was doing something, knew the timing, knew the miracle, whatever, doing other stuff more than just making a pile in Adam. Other piles, I don't know. But I know that when you step in the water, it takes a while for 12 miles of water to get down. We don't even understand the complexity of God responding to our situations. I think Paul had a glimpse of it. It says, Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, to him, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Lisa met Ann at a Christmas event. Some of you ladies went. It was mid-early December. And they've had other conversations, so I'm not going to know if I'm going to accurately convey this. And my wife says, that wasn't accurate. You're lying from the pulpit. So I'm just kind of letting you know. All right. But this is based on that first conversation and other conversation. Ann said, we've been looking for a church, and we haven't found one. We have been to every Assemblies of God church in San Diego. And Lisa goes, you haven't been to mine. And I think Ann said, well, how would you know? She says, I know everybody that's been to our church. Now you know that to be true, right, Ann? Yes, yes. And they had been looking. You've been here for 6 months, right? Or thereabouts?
Yeah.
6 months. They've been looking, searching, saying, God, what do you have for us? What do you have for us? What do you have for us? And one of the first weeks, I think the second week they were here, I shared that message where I became aware of my inability to meet all the needs here. And I said, I'm doing a preaching class, and there's going to be a release of some of the ministry here because there's so much to do, I cannot do it all. Lisa would say the same thing. And it was a week before last Wednesday at the annual business meeting that God spoke to their hearts and said, this is the place for you. And it's so interesting that God dovetails their search with my understanding of my limitations. It all meets together for God to do a mighty work. Bible says that they had to wait for the sin of the Canaanites to become full before they could take the land. 400 years. God says, I got it all planned out. God says, I'll reveal myself to you today so you can trust me tomorrow. And as, who was it? Timothy. This is not my notes. I'm sorry if I'm going long, but he talks about Paul and Ann. What do you think? I said, do they look like they fit here? Man, they're from Ohio. Come on. And I talked to Paul like the next Sunday or something. And I say, so what do you do? And he says, well, I'm an alcohol and rehab counselor. I said, really? How long have you been doing this? He, Pastor Dave, does alcohol and rehab. He goes, well, I do counseling and that stuff for like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. Really? I said, you're from Ohio? And he says, oh, yeah, or Ohio, right? And I said, where at? He goes, well, kind of in this urban area. Really? And then Sandra says, well, Ann sings. Really? And it is so incredible, the plan of God. I mean, because you can come up to the Jordan River at flood stage, and it'll be half a mile wide, and you're saying, really, God, here? This is it. Put your foot in the water. And some of us just think it looks too cold. And some of us say, okay, God, because you say so. They start walking. God reveals himself today, so you can trust him tomorrow. What has God been doing in your life, and what does God want to do in your life? What is God speaking to your heart? Because realistically, God would call you. The way he called Pastor Paul and Ann, the way he called Joshua. God is looking for people to join him in something big, and my question is that you today? Maybe it's not. Maybe the plan of God is just passing you by. The Bible tells us that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to God, and there's just a few people on it. So maybe the plan of, maybe you're not made for something big. Maybe that's just not you. It's not my job to make it you. It's your job to respond to God. Maybe you're feeling something today. Lisa, you want to come up? Maybe you are feeling the call of God. Maybe you're thinking, that's me. And maybe there's some things that are in the way. Maybe there's some issues that God would have you deal with today. He would say, you know me as your Savior, but there's stuff that's getting in our way. You can't follow me. I can't do anything big as long as you're carrying all this crud around. Hebrew word, meaning too much stuff. See, maybe today the Lord is saying, you need to consecrate yourself. You need to deal with some of the stuff that's in your life that I've been talking to you for a long time. Say, but Lord, I'm always going to deal with it. And say, no, tomorrow's today. Today's the day to deal with that. Maybe you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are lost and you're in the midst of sin and you're saying, I'm so lost. I don't know if I can be found. We can deal with that today. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow's today. Will you trust him enough to surrender your whole life to him? You know the Lord, you got some baggage you need to deal with. Don't know the Lord, need to find him as your Savior. Maybe you're saved and maybe you are ready to go. And you're so scared. Natty was scared. Oh, I don't want to do preschool. She got some training. She was teaching last week and she is excited. Partnering up with Linda. Linda's excited. And I'm so scared. I don't know if I can do something big. You can do the food ministries. Timothy's got some opportunities. You can talk to Timothy right after church. There's so many kids that are coming on Sundays that Julie Camacho wants to start another preschool class, little peewee kids. I mean, you could do that if you're a lady, ladies only. So I could do that. It's a start of something big. God would begin to exalt you today, that he would do something big in the midst of you. For 40 years, they had known God. For 40 years, they had been progressing to the promise. And all of a sudden, that promise hit today. Do you trust him enough to step out? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord, knowing that you know English and Spanish and Vietnamese and every other language, Lord, that you call people, you called Joshua, you called those priests, you called all the Israelites to take a land, to do something giant and big, and you call people in City Heights this morning. Lord, you call us out of darkness, Lord, to purify ourselves. Some of us need to cut some of the crud from the past, the sin, the alcohol, the drugs, the gambling, the shopping, the eating, the anger, the bitterness, the gossip, the unforgiveness. Hallelujah. And maybe it's a relationship that just needs to be surrendered up to you and say, Lord, it is so scary. It is so scary. I'm going to give this up to you. Has he proved himself enough in the past that you can trust him for today? God speaking to your heart this morning, you're saying, oh Lord, I'm terrified. I feel like I'm looking at a half mile wide river. Are you sure? Lord, I'm just praying right now to that person who has doubts that you would again give that confirmation, that you would give that call, that you would reaffirm, yes, this is the spot, this is the place, this is the time I have called you to step out and make a change. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Before we do, I want to know if the Lord is speaking to your heart. I want to know if the Lord is calling you to change, calling you to be something big, calling you to be an agent of transformation. Just a moment more. The Lord is calling you to deal with some of the baggage of your past. It's just like a neon light exploding in your brain. You're going, okay. I'll trust you enough to make a change today. Is that you this morning? God is speaking right to your heart, right to your soul, saying, I would do great and mighty things in you, but I need you to trust me in this. Tomorrow's today. Today's the day to change. God's speaking to your heart about some stuff that needs to change. Nobody looking around. But you're saying, God, I'll trust you today. Would you just raise your hand up? I'll trust you today, God. Right here. Right there. Right there. Right there. Anybody else? See, that's me. I got something, Lord. Right there, bro. Right there. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like Natty. God's calling you to something big. You're terrified. But you're saying, okay, I'll do it, Lord. I'll trust you. I'm going to take a risk. Different thing than what I just talked about. I'm willing to risk for the Lord. That's you. Just slide your hand up. I just want to know who you are. I'm going to talk to you. Right there, and there, here, there. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Lord, as you speak to our hearts, Lord, and as you guide and direct us, I pray you seal this word and this call upon these hearts that have responded. I'm going to sing a song, and you want prayer? You want to be anointed? I'd ask you to just come on up. I'll pray with you, and we'll see God do something big. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, will you? We want to sing with you.